You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Good morning, folks.
Morning, Dan and Danette.
Morning.
Here we are, another day, another Dan Patrick Show. If you'd like to watch, Peacock.
Peacock. I like the way you say Peacock.
If you want to listen later, download the podcast.
Download.
But right now, 3 hours live of the best sports talk on the air. Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
I love Dan Patrick. Oh, my God.
Home to the biggest guests and best sports talk on radio.
I love it.
One of my favorites.
Normally, home to Dan Patrick.
Hope you'll miss us.
But today, Dan and the Danettes are off.
Don't see another radio show behind my back, please.
And filling in, here's Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Sounds a little different because it is different. It is the Odd Couple. I am Chris Broussard alongside my partner, Rob Parker, and we are coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, filling in for Dan Patrick. Of course, this is the Dan Patrick Show. What's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing great. Happy Thursday. Happy Jackie Robinson Day on this April 15th. And Chris, I don't know, is today still tax day? I don't even, because you know,
last year
got moved around.
After the show, I will be going out to file my taxes.
Oh, okay. You haven't done it yet, huh? That means...
Well, we've done everything. We just got to, you know, mail.
Mail it out?
Yeah.
That means that means you're writing a check if you ain't sent it out yet.
Yeah. But that's a blessing. But you know, you still hate to see it go.
Oh,
you still hate to see it go,
but definitely.
Yes, happy Robinson Day to you too.
No doubt, and we'll talk about that, Chris, in the second hour.
Right,
just about his impact, and if anybody else ever lived up to what Jackie Robinson did back in 1947 and after. So we'll do that.
Yes, it's going to be a great show, and we are asking you to keep it locked right here for the next 3 hours. On Fox Sports Radio, because we don't think you'll be disappointed. We got so much to get into. Basketball, football, a little bit of baseball, as Rob said. So we're going to have a lot of fun. And let's start right here, Rob. A game that I was really looking forward to. Some people thought would have been the biggest game of the year, or at least the rest of the season, for both Philadelphia and Brooklyn because of the seeding implications, the tie-breaking implications for the top two teams in the Eastern Conference. And yet, it was a dud. It actually turned out to be fairly exciting because the Nets made a rally.
Yeah, but that was the mop-up crew, and
right.
You got to be careful. I mean, Chris, you're right. The score looked great, like it was this barn burner, but they were down. Philadelphia took its foot off the gas, right? And then the reserves who don't get to play that much, they went out there and they balled out, you know?
Yep.
So it looked like, wow,
Embiid
that was great.
Had to get up off the bench and go back out there and make sure they won. But the reason it was a dud was because Kevin Durant was out for the Nets. Blake Griffin was out for the Nets. James Harden was out for the Nets. LaMarcus Aldridge was out for the Nets. Kyrie played, but he had sat out the game before. And Rob, I'm going to say this, and you know, you and I, of course, as do all the other analysts on TV, and you make picks, right? We pick who's going to win the Super Bowl. We pick who's going to win the NBA title and this and that. And you want to be right. You want your picks to be right. It's not so much that you're a fan of that team, but you want your picks to be right.
As an analyst, you do. Obviously, you want to be able to – you don't want to be on TV or radio every day and be wrong all the time. You know, you want to say, like, I picked that team and they won. And that tells you my expertise. that I know what I'm talking about. So, yeah,
and we understand
that's what
everybody
is
wrong. I mean, nobody's perfect all the time. And people, a lot of people are wrong more than they're right, and they're good analysts. But
if we were all right, Chris, we would be living in Las Vegas, and we wouldn't
indeed.
Be doing this, okay?
Yes,
let's
indeed.
Just be honest.
And there's a little bragging right, especially with the Odd Couple. We have fun with each other. There's a little bragging right. So you want your pick to be right. So I do want, and we both actually picked the Brooklyn Nets to win the championship. I do want them to win it because I want my pick to be right. But I got to say this, Rob. I'm a bit torn. I'm a bit torn because if the Brooklyn Nets win this championship, which I'm with that pick. I'm sticking with it. I don't think it'll be good for the NBA. I don't think it will be good for the NBA because what they are attempting to do is wholly unprecedented. I mean, if they win this championship, and I know they're an aberration because they got so much talent that most teams wouldn't be able to do this. But if they win the championship, I think the view of the regular season for the next few years will never be the same. Because they have essentially flouted the regular season. They're treating the regular season like it's the preseason. Real talk. Kevin Durant sat out on the second night of a back-to-back. Okay, I kind of get it. He could have played. It probably wasn't even his decision. So I'm not jumping on him, but he could have played. Or he could have sat out. If you had to sit out Minnesota and played a national TV game against a top team in the league. Kyrie Irving sat out the game before. Kyrie's taking three sabbaticals, and maybe he's going through something mental, but and I want to be sensitive to that, but everybody got challenges, but you still show up for work. He's done three sabbaticals. LaMarcus Aldridge is out for some undisclosed illness, not COVID-related. You can go to the Clippers last night. Paul George sat out for rest on the second night of a back-to-back. That's why he sat out. But my point is, Rob, if they win, not to mention they got a first-year coach, never coached at any level. That's not unprecedented, but still. Their big three have played seven games together. And if they win this championship, believe you me, it's going to be more of this next year. Where Kyrie, Durant, Harden just sitting out randomly. Maybe not Harden because he tends to play. He's legitimately hurt with the hamstring. But, and you know, Rob, it's a copycat league. And I think just like people copy Greg Popovich, who started this all this rest, this could be copied as well. And that's why I don't think it'd be the greatest thing for the NBA.
Chris, I got two things to say to you. First, don't worry about your taxes today. It was extended. The IRS moved it to May 17th. So you're good.
But the wife is on me, so I see.
Okay, but I'm just telling you, you're not going to be late. May 17th is extended. Thank you to the people who hit us up on Instagram and Twitter. All right.
Yes.
But you are a day late, a dollar short about this wrecking the NBA. I hate to break it to you. The NBA has already been wrecked, Chris Broussard.
Stop it.
LeBron James wrecked it when he went to Miami and built that super team. Yes,
what?
He wrecked the NBA from that standpoint. You remember when LeBron went to the NBA Finals 8 years in a row? You remember that? Oh, yeah. Out of the East?
That's okay. Called greatness.
Okay, and then LeBron James, I keep saying, started MySpace, and the Warriors one-upped them and started Facebook when they added Kevin Durant. The Warriors, in their run, they went to the NBA Finals 5 years in a row. We got an overdose of Warriors basketball. First time since the Celtics of the 60s did a team go to the NBA Finals 5 years in a row. So now you're saying the Nets, because they've had some injuries, some guys haven't played. Chris, you know
it's
this.
It's not because of the, but I'm saying it not because of their greatness. But,
no,
you know,
you're talking about because of the,
out.
Yeah. Right. But I'm saying LeBron James, during his time with the Cavaliers, his second stint, took his foot off the gas, didn't play hard, missed some games because he realized being the number one seed in the East didn't matter. And so LeBron has already done this, and the Nets are saying, we're not going to kill ourselves. I'm with you. If I'm a fan, and Chris, if I was a fan pre-COVID and I bought tickets to a game and these guys are sitting out, if I was ESPN last night, I want a refund on my NBA deal last night.
Man.
I'm serious.
Nah,
that kills you. I'm telling you, people tuned in and went, okay, what marathon is on? Is there a wire marathon? Or you know what I mean, Chris?
Right.
Or let me binge watch something else because I wanted to see the big game showdown against Philadelphia and the Nets, and it didn't materialize because only Philadelphia was playing with a loaded gun.
Yeah, look, I'm with you on that. And that's the thing, and the players have to realize this. First of all, the owners, when they have the collective bargaining agreement and talks again, the owners are going to bring this up, and it's going to be a sticking point. There's going to be some type of clause likely put in there that players need to start playing because, as you said it, Rob, this isn't so much punishment for the players, although it's your job. It's your job.
Are they called players?
What do players do, Chris? Right?
They play, don't
right?
they?
But beyond that, Rob, you hit it on the head. It's the fans. It's not fair. First of all, your ticket prices are through the roof, as all sports are. And so if I put down $200 to take my three sons to the game because I want to see Kawhi Leonard and Paul George against the Pacers in person, and they're sitting on the bench in street clothes, not injured. If they're injured, I get it. But if they're not and they're just sitting there, come on. But where I disagree with you, Rob, though, come on, man. First of all, the NBA is far from ruined. I mean, you can say what you want
about
LeBron going to Miami.
Competitive balance,
but it was great for the league. They only won 2 out of 4.
I know. Well, they were a disappointment.
It was still competitive, but it was still competitive.
And let me do this. 877-99 on Fox. Chris, let's throw out the number in case people want to chime in.
877-996-6369. If you want to talk about this, yeah, would it be bad for the league? Call in now. Would it be bad for the NBA if Brooklyn wins it just because of the precedent it's setting? Other teams may follow. The regular season will be diminished even more. That's my concern.
I
want Brooklyn to win it, but that's my concern.
I hear your concern, but we're already in that era of super teams. Only a couple teams have it. LeBron started it, Chris, and now everybody's one-upped it. So like I've said before, if LeBron was MySpace and the Warriors were Facebook, I guess the Nets are Instagram now. I mean, it is a out-of-control monster.
Yeah, the Nets are like Tesla or something. They could be the best of all of them.
It's just the point that this is where we are, and it is bad. And when I say it's ruined, I mean what I consider competitive balance. We'll probably never see a starless team like the Detroit Pistons in 2004 beat a star-studded team like the Los Angeles Lakers with Kobe and Shaq, who had already won 3 in a row, Chris, and then added 2 more stars.
Carl
and
Malone,
I know they were
Gary
aged,
Payton.
But Gary Payton and Karl Malone. So I don't think we'll ever see another team like that win a championship. And that's sad to me.
Because that was
unexpected, and that was great only because
it was
nobody
great
expected
you were a columnist
it.
In Detroit. Nobody sitting there, oh my gosh, Detroit, it was so great. They first of all, they had talent. You know that.
I mean, I didn't Charles
say
they
Willis
were bums.
Getting in the Hall of Fame. Rasheed Wallace was a top number one pick type talent. But your point is well taken. But Rob, remember, look, they were the second team in like the last 40 some odd years to do that. It was the Seattle Supersonics in 1979 and then the Detroit Pistons in 2004. Outside of that, it's always been star-studded teams. And my thing is this. I actually do think there's competitive balance this year because I think while Brooklyn is stacked, Philadelphia is a legit contender. Milwaukee is a legit contender. And then, Rob, in the West, yes, the two L.A. teams are great, but you can't sleep on Denver, especially before Jamal Murray went down. That's unfortunate. Phoenix is looking surprisingly good, and Utah is there. Now, I think the L.A. teams are better, but these aren't scrubs that they're just going to step out there and walk over. So I think competitive balance is there, number one. And number two, we all love the 80s. You and I, that's what we grew up watching. You start covering the NBA in the 80s.
Yes, but, 1987.
And yeah, and there were, I mean, Rob, only five teams actually made the finals. Forget winning it. Made the finals in the 80s. And it was the golden era. So I'm fine with dominant teams. I didn't have a problem with Golden State going to five straight finals or LeBron going to eight straight finals. My problem is when the regular season becomes belittled to such a degree that I can't count how many big games I've been looking forward to watching. And because guys are out for injury or rest or whatever, they're not a big game anymore.
No doubt. All right, Chris, we got a few calls. Let's jump on these. Justin in Mobile, Alabama. You're on the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you,
man?
All right. Yeah, I agree with you too, though, because like I thought The Last Dance would motivate players to strive and be stronger. And you know, Jordan didn't really take rest days. Like rest days, what is that? You know, like
Jordan played 82 games his last year in the NBA
as a 40-year-old.
Yes, his last year.
And I don't blame LeBron for what he did. Now, Kevin Durant was a different topic because he went to a team that beat him. But LeBron, people keep saying that he built this super team, but I always thought the Celtics built the super team.
No, the Celtics made trades. The two players they brought in were trades. They weren't free agents. Thanks for the call,
Justin. Yeah, but they were Hall of Fame players.
It wasn't built the same way. That's all I'm saying. Team.
But there David, were Hall of Fame players that ganged up on LeBron. Can you name a Hall of Fame player that LeBron played with before he came
yeah,
back?
Shaq.
No, no.
Yeah,
Shaq. I'm with you. Yeah, but Shaq was old by that point. Like, I'm with you in that. And I actually wrote a column before LeBron went to Miami saying he may have to team up with a Hall of Fame teammate to contend with the Celtics.
Thanks for the call, Justin.
The deck was stacked. So I'm with you on that one.
David in Oklahoma, you're on the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. Sorry about that. No, David. Okay, Matt in Missouri, you're on the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Matt?
Hey, fellas, how's it going? You're doing a great job filling in for Dan.
Just thank you
for because I've never called into Dan's show. 6'2", 220.
Okay,
big dude. All right.
Yeah. Hey. So I live in Missouri, like you said. I'm a Lakers fan, have been my entire life. You know, when the Lakers come to Oklahoma City to play the Thunder, we try to get tickets. That's the only time I can get to a Lakers game. And I don't know where you guys are going, but three tickets for $200 would be super cheap.
No. Chris was just making it up. Right. We know that that's not the point.
I mean, it's $200
a while, so I'm with you. Yeah, my bad.
$200 a ticket if you don't want to sit up on the top row. Right. Man, if I show up to a game, I'm shelling out $400 or $500 and the Lakers' best players aren't playing because they're resting. I mean, that's a killer to me. You know,
have
I'm
you done
that?
That have you
money.
Gone to a game there and a top player was resting?
Yeah, we had back in when they had Howard and Nash. Now I know they had some injuries, but there were a couple players that weren't playing that were just resting that time. And it's super disappointing. I feel like if they're going to rest, they should have to rest at home games.
Yes, not on the road. I agree, Matt. Yep. No doubt. Thanks for the call. We appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
Can we squeeze one more in, Chris?
Yeah, go one more.
One more. John and Dayton, you're on the Dan Patrick Show.
Hey,
Fox
great
Sports
with
the
Radio. Odd couple. Talking to you guys. Usually listen in the evening. It's fun hearing you in the morning.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. We will be on tonight, too. We're doing double duty. We don't rest.
Double dip for the odd couple.
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of have a different take on the rest thing. I think that, you know, we saw a few years ago one of the Warriors blew out a knee in the finals, and sometimes I wonder if that's not a sign that, you know, these guys are overdoing it. Although I really like the suggestion from the last caller that if you if you're going to rest, maybe rest on a home game. But sometimes I think that, I don't know. I just think that when I hear about these players getting injured, I wonder sometimes if it's worth saying, no, they got to play every night because, there might be a kid in the stands that is hoping to watch them play. I think it's in the 82-game schedule, it might be part of the game. Just a different take on it.
All right. Appreciate the call.
All right. Good calls, guys, and we got plenty more. We got Matt Miller, the ESPN draft analyst, coming up in a few minutes. So definitely keep it locked right here on the Dan Patrick Show with the Odd Couple, Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Good morning, folks.
Morning, Dan and Danette.
Morning.
Here we are, another day, another Dan Patrick Show. If you'd like to watch, Peacock.
Peacock. I like the way you say Peacock.
If you want to listen later, download the podcast.
Download.
Download. But right now, 3 hours live of the best sports talk on the air. Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
I love Dan Patrick. Oh, my God.
Home to the biggest guests and best sports talk on radio.
I love it.
One of my favorites.
Mm.
Normally, home to Dan Patrick.
Hope you'll miss us.
But today, Dan and the Danettes are off.
Don't see another radio show behind my back, please.
And filling in, here's Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
It is the Odd Couple. Rob Parker, Chris Broussard, filling in for Dan and the Danettes. This is the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. On your Jackie Robinson Day, April 15th. And it was 1947 on this date that Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier and changed this country forever. The first black man to play Major League Baseball, and it still resonates to this day. And I love that Major League Baseball honors Jackie Robinson for what he went through, what he did, what he had to endure in order to allow black and brown players to play Major League Baseball, which was a huge, huge step back in 1947. And today, baseball celebrates Jackie Robinson today and tomorrow, which is great. It's actually today and tomorrow. All players, all on-field people will wear the number 42, which is the number that Jackie Robinson wore. And people will read a lot of stuff about Jackie Robinson today. And Chris, I have a new website out called MLBBro.com. Please go there, check out some of the stuff about Jackie Robinson. And Chris, what are your thoughts on Jackie Robinson in this day? And I think he's a hero to a lot of people.
Man, he is a great American hero. It's as simple as that. Not just to African Americans, but he should be a hero to all Americans. He is the athletic embodiment of what America has always said it stood for on paper, right? America hadn't stood for those things all the time. But freedom, liberty, and justice for all, that wasn't the case before Jackie Robinson. In sports, even. I mean, it still got issues, obviously, but even in sports, that was not the case. And so he is not only a great African-American hero, he is an American hero. And one thing I like to see, Rob, it is a sport that, let's face it, at this point doesn't have a lot of African-Americans, about 8% African-American, but yet seeing them honor Jackie Robinson the way they are. And most of the players aren't African-American. I think that that just kind of highlights how he was such a hero, not just for blacks, but he's a he should be viewed as a hero for all Americans, regardless of your race. And it's interesting, right, because we wanted to talk about, you know, what other athletes have kind of had the type of impact that Jackie Robinson has had. And I think when you look at some of the great, you know, African-American athletes, it's interesting as I was thinking about it, because a lot of them really embody a certain aspect of black culture that they kind of bring into the mainstream. You know, and Jackie Robinson, I would say, he was like the embodiment of the civil rights movement in sports.
Right.
He was like the Martin Luther King of sports. I think Muhammad Ali was like the Malcolm X of sports. Jackie Robinson got more done tangibly than Ali.
I was going to say, Chris, did you see the movie 42, the recent one that was done about Jackie Robinson?
With Chadwick Boseman?
The late Chad Boseman, who was great in that movie.
Yeah,
right?
That was a great
Absolutely
movie.
Great. But, Chris, I was almost in tears. You know what scene I'm talking about, where he's playing in Philadelphia and the manager is calling him all kinds of names. And, you know, he knew he couldn't lash back out. He couldn't fight, Chris. You know what I mean? Like the way he was treated. And he understood, like you were just talking about him being closer to Martin Luther King and nonviolent. And that's why he was picked to be that guy.
Because he wasn't the best player in the Negro Leagues.
He wasn't the best player in the Negro
Leagues. Which tells you something about the Negro Leagues.
Right. Negro Leagues were, right. Because Jackie Robinson, and let's not forget, Chris and I bring this up on our show all the time, because writers get bashed all the time that you know, we about picking people, Chris, in awards. Right. Let's just be honest. Jackie Robinson was the Rookie of the Year in 1947. And, Chris, back then, there wasn't an AL Rookie of the Year and an NL, just one for the entire league. Jackie Robinson won that award. And remember, every baseball writer in the BBWAA back then was white. Every player was white. Every owner was white. Every umpire was white. And who was the Rookie of the Year? Jackie Robinson. Why, Chris? Because he could play.
Right.
Because he was great.
I think that speaks to, and the point you're making, is the objectivity of reporters and writers who vote. Now, look, and I'm sure you agree with this, Rob. I'm sure a lot of those white writers were racist.
Probably.
But yet, they were like, look, when it comes to my job, I got integrity. And this was the best player. So I'm voting for him. And so you're right, because we catch flack all the time, whether it's all-star games or MVP awards. Let
the writers
do
just
it.
Don't
the
like him. They got an axe to grind. All
Man,
this stuff.
Man, y'all better be happy that the players don't pick the MVP.
Yes.
Real talk.
Yes.
I mean, Rob, you bring it up all the time. When they first let the players vote for All-Star, what, 130
didn't
or something
vote.
Like that didn't vote for LeBron. Even more didn't vote for Durant or something. It was ridiculous.
Right.
So stop it. I mean, we're the ones, we're not tooting our own horn, but let us vote. Because we don't have a horse in the race, really.
And, I think the Jackie Robinson voting tells you all you need to know. Seriously, I think for that time. But, Chris, when you think about great players who have made an impact in this country, I don't know if there's anybody bigger than Jackie Robinson, but we would love to hear from people and their thoughts. 877-99 on Fox. Muhammad Ali is right up there, Chris, as well.
It's different ways in which things were done. As I said, I would equate Jackie Robinson to the Martin Luther King of sports. Like you said, nonviolent, turn the other cheek. You know, took all the slights and insults and, you know, just
and still excelled.
Went through it. Right, and still excelled. Muhammad Ali was more like a Malcolm X. And Muhammad Ali, you can't point to a ton of tangible things necessary. Laws changed and things like that. But psychologically, he had such a great impact on the African-American community and really, in turn, America as a whole. That's what Malcolm X was. Malcolm X stood up to the system, said what he wanted to say, called out wrongdoing by whites anytime he wanted to. And that's what Muhammad Ali did. Malcolm X didn't change laws and things like that.
But Chris,
he stood up like a man, and that's what people looked. That's what people loved about Muhammad Ali. He was unashamedly black, period.
100%. And the thing that I always think of Muhammad Ali is black pride. Like, he was a prideful man, and he made it like it was good to be black. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like I think that's what he was able to relay to the masses and the black people, that, you know, black pride, black power, like that's what he did.
He was the embodiment of that in sports. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep, you're right. And to drive the point home about certain athletes embodying a portion of black culture and pushing it into the mainstream. Now, this guy is not on the level of Jackie Robinson and Ali by any stretch as far as his impact. Well, I was going to bring up, I think you might think I'm bringing up somebody else. I was going to say Allen Iverson in terms of the hip-hop culture.
I thought you were going to say LeBron, for the stuff that he's done. We'll get to LeBron.
So I was just going to say that's another example of the embodiment of a part of black culture is Allen Iverson with the cornrows and bringing that into mainstream society. Let me get to LeBron, because, Rob, LeBron, man, he has done so much. Now, obviously, I mean, somebody broke the color line. That was Jackie Robinson. Nobody can compare to that.
No.
Ali, like you said, just the courage and the black pride he displayed. But LeBron, I think, Rob, LeBron is setting a blueprint. And a lot of people think of the More Than a Vote, which was great. A lot of people think of the Trayvon Martin, you know, post with him in the Miami Heat with the hoodies. Great. Right. He's been outspoken about it. That's great, but that's good. And I salute him for that, and I'm proud of him for that and happy he does it. But it doesn't take as much courage to do that today as it took when Muhammad Ali was doing it.
No, but I agree with that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, it's
because
great
Muhammad
that he's doing
Ali,
it.
It ain't as
courageous for me and you to do it, right? As it took Ali. We could do it too, but it's just a different time. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Muhammad Ali didn't know if he'd ever box again or make a living,
right,
Chris. He didn't know. You know, LeBron is a gazillionaire, has plenty of money no matter what. And they can't really hurt him.
He could not play another game for the rest of his life, and his generations upon generations are set. But you brought up a great point, Rob, that people lose when they think about Ali. People think of him as, oh, he had to take 3 years off because he didn't go to Vietnam. And we talk about it like he knew he was coming back.
Right.
For all he knew, everything he had worked for since he was 12 years old and started boxing, he threw it away. Not for because he was acting up, but for a legitimate cause. He was willing to walk away from his individual dream for what he felt was the higher moral principle.
And for the greater good. Not too many people are willing to do that, Chris.
No.
That's why Colin Kaepernick, when you think about where he was in his career and what he did, Chris, the mistreatment and the brutality by police, that didn't happen to him or to his family member or anything. These were people he didn't even know.
Right.
Think about
exactly
that.
You're right. And he didn't even grow up like that. He grew up with a white family.
Exactly. So for him to take that kind of responsibility and step out there and give up all that he had worked for as an NFL quarterback speaks volume. So Kaepernick is another guy we can include in the conversation.
I agree.
Chris, we got some
and
calls.
And a lot of people won't want to include him in there, but
I would.
He gave up his career. And I think, Rob, a lot of people talk about, you know, well, he did. Some people say, oh, he did it for publicity or what. No.
Nonsense.
For me, if he was a star, if he was still a star, because remember, he was a star for about 2 or 3 years.
Right.
If he was still a superstar, it would have been easier to do it, because he would have he was so good, they would have kept him in the league.
But he was a fringe player at that point.
He was a backup. To do that as a backup is huge and shows that it really means something for you. Let me throw this out, though, before we go to the callers, Rob. LeBron James.
Yep.
I don't want it to be lost what he's doing. When I say I really believe, Rob, that LeBron James is setting the blueprint for what African-American athletes should be doing today. And what I'm saying is, Rob, you and I remember we were covering the league when kind of entourages became big, right? Yep. You know, got brothers, you know, make it to the league and they got three or four of their best friends that they grew up with just hanging around them. They kicking it, traveling with them, all that, fine.
Free
LeBron,
drinks.
Right. I mean, and they your boys, so they didn't mean to do it, and you certainly didn't mean to do it. But in a lot of cases, they end up just sucking your money.
Right, hangers on her.
Right, because they just, you paying for everything for them, and they're not developing themselves in the career or anything. LeBron said, look, I got my boys. I'm going to put you guys in position. I'm going to use my position to put you in position to become moguls in your own right. And Rich Paul has become the most, right now, he's arguably the most powerful agent in the NBA. You got Maverick Carter, who is now a media mogul with Spring Hill Entertainment and all of that. And there was just some news that, they're going to, you got Space Jam coming out, but now they're going to do House Party, which I think will be great because I thought that was a great movie. So they're doing a remake of House Party. But my point is, I would like to see these brothers, instead of just having your boys hang out and kick it, which you can do that too, but put them in position to empower themselves. When LeBron retires, Rich Paul will still be powerful. Maverick Carter will still be powerful. And then people they've brought up under them. I would like to see more guys do that. Send your boy to college. Yeah, I mean, seriously, say you got six years to graduate, my man. Right. When you come out, you can be my business manager, whatever. But use your connection to Nike to get them a job with Nike. Rob, you know that's how this business works. Yep. Who you know, or this corporate world. So, LeBron, I don't want it to be lost what he's done. He's taking it to a new level. So, I'll put him in that group.
Okay, that's fair. 877-99 on Fox. Let's go to Eddie in Seattle. You're on the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, guys. I'd like to say you all are a breath of fresh air, and I'd like to commend you before I do my comment on how you try to always keep things positive, even on serious subjects. Dan Patrick and Amy Adams does that as well.
Thank you.
It's very appreciated. You're not selling wolf tickets or things like that. It's really appreciated. I have two to add. I would add Michael Jordan, money-wise, I don't think anybody's going to ever give LeBron credit. It'll be years. It's like he's one of those people that people hate so much that I can't even enjoy him sometimes when he plays. But
now,
I would
are
add
you
Michael,
on the side of love him or hate him?
Oh, I love him.
Okay, because I think he's. I think a lot of people love LeBron.
But he's polarizing.
He's polarizing. He's polarizing, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a media polarization. And then I would add Jack Johnson. So mine would be, when I saw Hank, when he ran around the bases when he broke Babe Ruth's record,
right.
I thought the guy that ran out there was going to kill him personally.
Right.
I'm with you on that.
You're right. I'm surprised Hank didn't respond like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like punch the dude or something. Like,
Eddie, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it. How about Susan in Florida? You're on the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Susan?
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my call. You know, I'm thinking about with Jackie Robinson and how brave Branch Rickey was to have Jackie Robinson play, because you can almost anticipate the hatred that was going to come from the stands and some other players and maybe the opposing manager. So it was good to see that. I mean, I wasn't born yet, but I heard the story of that. And while I'm at it, I don't know if you are aware, but in the American League, there was also a black player that was one of the first to break the black, but I don't remember his name or what he played for.
Yep, Larry Doby came Oh, a couple of weeks later, or and he played for the Cleveland Indians.
Okay.
And a great man. Thanks, Susan, for the call. Chris, you remember when he was with the Nets, right? He was a Nets front office guy.
Yep.
Larry Doby. And I got to meet him and get to know him. And what a great man, Larry Doby.
And you're right. He does get lost in history. I'm glad you brought him up. Yeah.
Because it was only 2 weeks later after Jackie. Ed in Wisconsin, you're on the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Ed?
Hey, man, what's up? Thank you for all you do. Your previous caller stole a little bit of my thunder, but to expand upon her thought, Mr. Branch Rickey, if you guys may or may not know, he consulted Joe Louis because Jackie Robinson, actually, when he was in the military, punched a superior officer and knocked him out. And Branch Rickey was thinking twice, but he consulted with Joe Louis because Joe Louis knew him very well, and Joe Louis vouched for him.
And Ed, you know what I love in that? If you saw the movie 42 and you know Branch Rickey's full story, it wasn't like he was just a saint and wanted to do right. Like, he was a businessman, Branch Rickey.
Correct.
And the reason he did this was, he had a team in Brooklyn that wasn't selling tickets, and he sees all these black people walking around the streets of Brooklyn. Yes. And he's like, how can I get those people in my ballpark? That's really am I right? I mean,
correct.
I could not
agree with you more.
I'm getting stomped.
Let me get
some brothers.
Exactly. but
thank you for the call. Thank you for the call. We got Robert Woods, LA Rams wide receiver. Man, got a new quarterback. See if he's excited. He'll join us shortly. Keep it locked right here on the Dan Patrick Show. It's the Odd Couple, Chris Broussard and Rob Parker filling in.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, rest in peace and power, the great DMX. We are the Odd Couple, Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, filling in for Dan Patrick. This is the Dan Patrick Show, and we're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Our next guest is Los Angeles Rams wide receiver Robert Woods. He's here on behalf of Castrol, who is partnering with Robert and the LA Rams this season. Robert's bringing awareness to the importance of sustainability and is partnering with Castrol to demonstrate how everyone can take small steps to help create a more sustainable future. And he'll be joining us momentarily. But, Rob, there was an interesting, really good topic on Jackie Robinson. And I thought some callers brought up some really interesting points about that.
No doubt about it. I mean, no doubt. And it's a great day to reflect, Chris. And also for people, it's still inspiring that you can make change. People can make changes in this world, Chris.
No doubt.
You can make changes. Yes, it can be done. Doubt. When all things look bleak and it looks like things can't happen, or, you know, it's unfair or whatever, you know, if people, good people, are willing to band together and do what's right, and allowing Jackie Robinson to play Major League Baseball, Chris, changed this country and how black people were viewed. And think about 1947. That's 20 years before the Civil Rights Movement. You know, it had to be bleak in this country in 1947.
It was definitely bleak. And like you said, he had the courage to go out there and do it. And I've said it before, Rob, to you. And I hate to say this because I don't think it's a compliment to our country. But if African-Americans weren't so good in sports, I don't think we'd be as accepted as we are today, and we still got problems today. No. I really don't. If we were just average, we were okay, we had a few guys here or there, I really don't. I hate to say it because it shouldn't be based on how fast you are, how high you can jump, how great you are at baseball or basketball or whatever. It should be based on your humanity. So
I don't disagree. I don't disagree with you. I think that in this country, because how important athletics and sports is woven to our society, Chris, like for us, there's all these great thinking people and ideas and smart people and whatnot, but they don't get the politicians, whatever. They don't get nearly the praise or the love that black athletes get.
Right. Absolutely.
And that's why those guys often are looked to. You know, people say, oh, I don't want sports to be mixed in with my politics or these things to be mixed in with my sports. But that's the entryway. And those are the people.
Get rid of the issues that the athletes bring up.
Right.
We don't want to bring it up either, but we got to because we keep having these problems. So, all right, on that note, let's get to Robert Woods, L.A. Rams wide receiver. As I said, he's here on behalf of Castrol, which is partnering with Robert and the Rams, and they're bringing awareness to the importance of sustainability and partnering to demonstrate how everyone can take small steps to help create a more sustainable future. Robert, welcome to the Dan Patrick Show. And can you expound on what you're doing with Castrol?
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. We partnered up with Castrol. We're raising awareness locally and across the United States. We're traveling and trying to reduce our impact on our environment any way we can. 2 weeks ago, we were just in Los Angeles cleaning up the park. We had volunteers come out, and with Keep America Beautiful, they came out as well. We were able to have a good group of people to come out and clean up the streets, pick up waste and trash in our communities. And even for away games this year, every city we visit, we'll be doing the same, asking volunteers to come out and be a part of it. And if they can't, really just trying to have an impact any way they can, whether it's in their own homes, limiting electricity use, recycling, using less plastic, public transportation, really any way can help. And they could join the team like that any way possible.
Robert, how do you get people to understand? Because the biggest thing is, I think most people don't think even their little bit means anything or you know what I mean, is changing things. But if you could get people to understand that every little bit actually does count, you know what I mean? The little stuff that you do at your house, recycling and things like that, does make a difference. How hard is it to get that point across to people?
Yeah, I was listening to you guys' conversation a little bit earlier. It's just having an impact, inspiring. We as the leaders and athletes, we're able to put a spotlight on this and be able to encourage others, other players to come out, telling a friend to come out. And really, once you get going, it's kind of inevitable. You want to keep it going, keep the change going. And that's why the Driving for Change program is there. This is just a kickstart, encouraging fans to be a part of it. And I think once you inspire others how important this is to our environment and to our communities, I think it'll transition into that. Right now it's inspirational, bringing people aboard and showing them the small steps they can take.
All right, Robert, you've been with the Rams 4 years, and it's been a really good 4 years. 3 times in the playoffs, once to the Super Bowl. I'm sure, I mean, we can just look at your numbers and see that you had a good connection, a great connection with Jared Goff. What were your thoughts when they traded him away for Matt Stafford?
Yeah, great connection with them. I always tell them, best quarterback I had, Jared, best quarterback I had. But really just becoming a part of that offense and being able to showcase my game and showcase my talents as not only as a blocker but as a true receiver. I credit that to this offense and Jared being able to placed the ball on the right spot at the right time. You know, got us to the Super Bowl, had many playoff runs. And really, I was shocked when the trade happened because, you know, it's like, oh, man, this is our quarterback. This is our franchise quarterback. And just that the trade was shocking and then also exciting at the same time to get a guy like Matthew Stafford, a guy who has accomplished so much in the NFL, always one of the top leaders in passing yards. And as a receiver, you know, you got to appreciate that, always having a quarterback who can place the ball in his receiver's hands.
And he had Calvin Johnson, a first ballot Hall of Fame receiver. But are you surprised, though, that Stafford never won a playoff game in Detroit in 12 years? Like, he has a lot of individual stats, but the Lions didn't win a lot.
Yeah, I would say that's why it's a perfect combination for our team. You see with our offense and with actually our whole team, the success we have being able to make the playoffs. I want to say 3 out of the 4 years, had a Super Bowl run. And then to get a guy like Stafford who has all the personal stats, who did have Nate Burleson on his other side, he had Calvin Johnson, also with Golden Tate. He's always had good receivers. So I think really just to get him a part of our winning culture on our team would be really good for him and his career to finally put it together. Let's bring our winning culture with his winning personality together and let's accomplish some great things.
The Rams, they obviously think this is an upgrade. Do you feel that way?
We got to see. I would say you got to see. It's different. You know, this is a whole new environment for Stafford to come leaving Detroit. He's been in one place his whole career. I would love for it to be an upgrade because just for the things that we accomplished with Jared Goff, I think if we do have an upgraded quarterback, I think that's huge for our team. We've been in the playoffs. I think this could get us over the hump. If so, get us into that Super Bowl and finally win it. We got there with Jared, but let's see what Matthew Stafford can bring to this offense. He does have some stuff to prove. Like you said, he hasn't won any playoff games. He has the individual stats. But, we're his teammates now. We're his guys, and we're going to help him accomplish these things.
Robert, we've heard from a lot of baseball players and NBA players now that they're allowing fans in the ballpark. As a football player, what was it like a year ago, you know, with no fans and the, you know, at the beautiful new home stadium for you guys here in Los Angeles? And then the idea of maybe the commissioner said maybe there's full stands come football season. Is that something that was different playing? Not playing in front of fans?
Yeah, last year was like, you know, you go into the stadiums, it's quiet, you hear the air conditioning running. it's like a glorified scrimmage. You're able to...
You can hear if a guy didn't eat, his stomach was growling, right, or something.
Seriously. So I look forward to, you know, having fans come back into the stadium and really being able to see our stadium for the first time. It's really a great atmosphere. Can't wait for SoFi Stadium to be filled, the Affinity Board to be seen. I think we have the best stadium in the NFL, and it needs to be filled with fans, screaming Rams fans. And from a player's perspective, just feeling that energy again, you know, it makes the moments even bigger. It makes the wins more enjoyable. And being able to interact with the fans when you score touchdowns is very, very memorable. Can't wait for these things to get back into play and pack out our new stadium if possible.
Robert, I talk a lot about quarterbacks and intangibles. You look at Tom Brady, Joe Montana. Like, what made them so great was not just – really not their arm strength or anything like that, their athleticism. I think a big part of it is their intangibles, their ability to lead the locker room, to get everybody to follow them, to get everybody to believe in them. You're a receiver, so that you can clearly see that either lacking or that as a strength of a quarterback. Can you kind of, for those, the laymen out there that don't really understand that or poo-poo intangibles, can you kind of talk about the importance of that and even describe it? Like, how do you know if a guy has it? What is it about a guy that can make the team want to follow him and believe in him and all that?
Yeah, I would say first it comes with your work ethic, your attitude, how you approach the game in the weight room, film study, and on the practice field. I think all these things have an impact, and of course your play has to back it up. And especially at the quarterback position, all eyes are on you. You are the leader of the team, regardless of age and how many years experience. So really, I would think the quarterback position is one of the key positions that make a team. And with our team having a lot of leadership present is very key, because we're able to just have our quarterback have the confidence, because we have the confidence as well in him. But even just our play, our defensive play, we have great guys on the defensive side. And really, I always credit success to confidence in this league. As long as you're able to keep your quarterback confident, have them believing in himself, being a leader, we always do self-talk and talking to our teammates, hyping them up before the game. Because really, when you believe it, and like the whole thing, if you believe it, you can achieve it. It's really true at this level.
Let me ask you one last thing, and I know you were happy with Jared Goff. You guys had a connection, but when you look around the NFL and you see some of these other quarterbacks, and you see Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady, you look at those guys and go, like what it would be like to be a receiver for one of those guys? Is that hard not to think about?
No, I don't. Obviously, well, let me take that back. You do obviously think about playing with Tom Brady. I think every receiver's dream would be to play with Tom Brady and just experience what it's like to play with one of the greatest players and greatest quarterbacks of all time. But the others, no. Obviously, they're good. And they're good at what they do. Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, they're some of the best in the game.
Right.
But I'd rather rock with my quarterback, who I've grinded with and put in the sweat and the tears. And I have total confidence in our quarterback's play. When we had Jared, now that we have Stafford as well, I'd rather rock with our guy.
And Robert is a smart man. You are a smart man. He's like,
about to go throw the football.
All right, I ain't going to say nothing that's going to stop me from getting the football, because I want to play with Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes, right?
And even like you said, it's the tandem. It's Aaron Rodgers and another receiver. I'll take myself and our quarterback over anybody else.
Well, wait. Y'all got close last year. So we will be watching and looking for some big things from you guys this year. That's Robert Woods,
LA
Rams wide receiver. Thanks a lot, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Rob.
Yep. All right. It is the Odd Couple, Chris Broussard, Rob Parker. In for Dan Patrick. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Keep it locked, Fox Sports Radio.